you very much. I just want to draw attention to something. I brought lots of wise men. This is Christmas 3 years ago, and I made this from the cards. But lots of wise men, they're usually three at a time, beautifully dressed. But why am I showing you this now like this? I'm showing it to you because I was completely thrilled when the children who came down here sat and enjoyed it. And I thought, hallelujah, I did what God told me to do. I had other plans as to where it might be if I brought it, and I was just so happy. And that links with something I'm going to talk about, so there is some point. I thought I might be able to speak. I haven't spoken for some time, so I'm a bit rusty. But I thought I would probably be able to speak, but I might not be able to handle my visual aids. So that was my worry. I don't know if I need to go over the story of what happened. I'm sure everyone here knows it so well. The visit of the Magi and the looking for the king, coming to worship him. They had that in their hearts already. They were going to worship him. And they came with a question, where is he? And they obviously decided to aim for Jerusalem, thinking that if he's the king of the Jews, it would be in Jerusalem and maybe at the palace. So they got in touch with Herod. Herod was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And I said to David, why was everyone else in Jerusalem troubled? And he had a very good answer for me. It would be political unrest, all sorts of power struggles, etc. But anyway, that's where he landed. And then they landed. And then Herod called the leaders of the Jews, the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders, and he wanted to find out where this king would be born. It's interesting, this belief in prophetic words. Isn't it interesting? And so anyway, they told him from Micah chapter 5 that it was Bethlehem. And of course, the baby born was in the place of their birth, his parentage. So he was in. Then he knew that he would be there. And then you have Herod being calculating and tricky, and he secretly summons the Magi. He wants to know the exact time that they saw the star. They knew about it. And I think he wanted to know the exact time to know what age this child might be. I think that was something to do with it. And he sent them, he told them Bethlehem was the place. They didn't know that. They weren't people of the word. They were very, very good astrologers. They studied the stars, they looked at the stars, and they gave themselves to looking. But he told them that it was Bethlehem, and so they set off and they went there, and they found him. And wasn't it amazing that the thing that they did, they fell to the ground. They absolutely... Why did they fall to the ground? Do you think it was the presence of God there? Do you think it was the amazing thing that what they had seen and they saw with their outer eyes and their inner eyes? They were very, very good seers. And so they would have known. Anyway, I love the thought of them falling down to the ground. How many in this room have fallen down to the ground? More than 10 times. Yeah, I've fallen to the ground so many times, I'm ridiculous. If you don't know me. Right. That's my beginning bit. Right. Leslie, are you doing my... Are we there? Oh, right. Right, right. Next slide, please. This psalm is amazing. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. I mean, it's very poetic, but there's a truth in it, and these magi knew that. They knew it, and they heard things, and they saw things in the stars. Next slide, please. This is another lovely verse. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made. Do you think it was one word? Let there be galaxies. Let there be planets. Let there be... I'm not very scientific. Let there be... And that's what happened in the beginning, wasn't it? Let there be light. And there was light. A declaration of let there be from God has power. It has enormous power. And it has enormous power today for us, for each of us. We can say, let there be in the name of Jesus. Let there be. This other bit of it, the verse, their starry host by the breath of his mouth. Words fail me. I suppose when you speak, yes, I can feel my breath, but by the breath of God, the starry host, how big is that? How big is it? It is totally, totally, overwhelmingly big. Through his breath, through his word, things happen, things come into being, things change. Yes, breathe on me, breath of God. I'm not feeling very safe at the moment. I said I fell over quite easily. I'm not feeling too safe quite now. Breathe on me, breath of God. Fill me with life anew, that I might love what you love and do what you do. It's the breath of God that can produce change and miracles. It's his breath. Next slide. Thank you. Who were the Magi? Well, they were seers. They were stargazers. They were lookers. They were watchers. They had very focused looking. They were able to spot small changes. And they noticed this star, and it was being able to notice that it must have meant hours of looking. Hours of looking. Seeing, noticing, observing. And I've said this already, they had outer eyes and inner eyes. And we all have that too. We can see naturally and we can see supernaturally, spiritually, emotionally we can see our inner eyes. And they had the inner eyes to interpret what they saw, both actually and in visions. So they would have visions and dreams and they would hear. They didn't know the God we know, but they knew the maker of heaven and earth. They didn't recognize, they didn't know who he was. Next slide. They had both good eyes and good ears. They could see and they could hear. I was thinking that they probably heard in Herod the truth about him. I think they knew that, but they were listening and they were seeing. And I was thinking of their gifts, how brilliant they were. They were so in touch with everything of the truth. They were so in touch. The myrrh, which is used for embalming dead bodies, it's also used for mixing with wine to be a pain relief for crucifixions. Is that amazing or not? So they had a gift of myrrh. Frankincense. Frankincense was used in the temple as part of the incense. It was an ingredient of the worship of the temple. Gold, a gift for the king, fit for a king. And I thought too, quite useful for the Mary and Joseph and Jesus family. Because soon after this, they have to flee to another country. And so whatever occupation he had there, he would have been on his own again in terms of work. And so this gold would have been a lovely, lovely gift for them. Next slide, please. What I want to do is to encourage us to grow in our seeing and to grow in seeing like God sees, because he has wonderful eyes. He looks with passionate love on every person, and he knows the family history of every person in the world. He totally knows that everything, and he sees it, and he loves, he loves, he loves. He absolutely loves. It's important that we can, what do we see if we were thinking about ourselves? Does anyone ever say, I'm just rubbish? I don't know how, I can't count the number of times I've said that about myself. Anne, you're rubbish. Come on. Nobody else in the room? No. You're hopeless. Yeah. We think we are insignificant quite often. The opposite of that is that we think we're very, very good and everybody should give way to us because we know quite a lot and we've got a lot of experience. And yeah, just ask me a question. Don't. Don't. So you can have the two extremes. You can have a mix of what you think about yourself. But the constant thing is what God thinks about you. Amen. And that is a tremendous thing. And I think if I have anything, is that I've come to know more what God thinks about me. And what about others? How do we look at other people? Big question. And it can depend on all sorts of things. And you can look down on people. You can judge people. You can judge them harshly, or you can think, I'm judging them absolutely fairly. this is how they should be sorting themselves out, or whatever. We can be jealous of other people. Do you know, jealousy is one of the worst sins in the world. It is so, so powerful. And if you ever catch sight in yourself of jealousy, it's like a little flame. Snuff it out. Don't entertain jealous thoughts, because they are deadly. They're deadly for us if we are, and they're deadly against the person we're jealous of. It is very, if you want to hear more about it, read one of the chapters of James where he describes it. And it is so, so bad. We can see the faults of others as well. Next thing are situations. And I wrote down, nothing is impossible with God. Absolutely nothing is impossible with God. And however hopeless. And the thing that God brought to my mind was, I don't know if it's it may not be a familiar story in the Bible, but it's about Hagar, who was, she was a servant of Sarah, the wife of Abraham, and those family stuff. She has a child. Sarah wants the child sent away, and so Abraham sends her away with the child, giving her a flask of water, maybe some food, but a flask of water. The water was the chief thing. And so she went away, and the water ran out. And here she is with this child. And she's got nothing to give him. She's overwhelmed. And she puts him, I think she lies him down under a bush for shelter. And she just sits and cries. And God speaks to her and asks her, why is she crying? And she opens her eyes and she sees a well. There's a well right by her. She's finished this flask, but there's a well there. And God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And sometimes in our situations we can think, I've given this, which is a horrible thing to bring on a Sunday morning, but there are situations that make us feel desperate and hopeless. And it's never hopeless. He is the God of all hope. Absolutely, He's the God of all hope. Lord. In Psalm 139 it says, you see my unformed substance. And he's talking about, in the psalmist, of in the womb, God seeing the little being in the womb. God sees. He sees. And it says, you knit me together in my mother's womb. As if God was doing some knitting. And he's got X-ray eyes. So he can see. Nothing is hidden from him. And every situation of every person here is known in detail and in depth. And in fact, he knows more than you do and than I do. He knows it, he understands it, and he has an action plan. He's got thoughts, he's got ideas, where you might think, like Hagar, There's nothing I can do except cry. But actually, God opened her eyes and showed her something she couldn't see. And that's sometimes what happens in desperate situations. You see something you haven't seen, and then things improve. Next slide. Thank you. God is able to open blind eyes, and he's able to unstop deaf ears. He can do it physically. We saw that with Jesus. We've got lots of examples to look at where genuinely blind people got their sight back, just like that. And deaf people, and a mute, a boy who was deaf and mute, became able to operate in every way. He can open our eyes. And in what I'm saying this morning, that's what I'm hoping, that he will open our eyes. He will open our eyes. And I was thinking of the example of Job in the Bible. Job was a man who lost everything in his life. He lost, except his own life, he lost his family, he lost everything you can think of. And he became sick and ill. And if you read in the book of Job, he has a conversation with God. And he pours out his complaint to God. And he's angry, he's proud, he's suffering terribly, he's in pain, and he's self-righteous. If you read it, it's totally. Now, what do you think God does? Well, he doesn't shut him up. He lets him go on and on and on and on and on. It's a long book. It's a long complaint. And God listens. God heard him out and then started to question him. And I don't know all the questions, but he asked him, "Are you there when the deer give birth? Are you there when the deer give birth?" And all sorts of things where God is there in amazing ways, and it's worth reading. It's quite amusing, actually. But Job, he is utterly, utterly changed. And he said, "I'd known about you. I know you can do all things, but now my eyes can see you. I can see you." And he found a change in all his circumstances. They all turned round. But why have I chosen this? I've chosen it. If you think you've got to go to the Lord in a good mood, with pleasant words, always, very polite, humble, you know, grovelling, I can't crawl, you don't have to. You do not have to. However you are welcome by the Lord. However bad and however you want to scream and kick, he does not mind. I don't know if you've ever seen, well, silly question. You have. I've seen little children run up to their father and thump them in anger. Thump him. Have you been thumped by your children? Yes. He's a real father. Amen. The God we worship, he's a real father. He's also, by the way, a real mother. He has both father's love and mother's love. And any good father whose little child is angry and stamping their feet and thumping and shouting will just hold their children, their child. They'll just hold them. They'll probably even rock them. It's lovely to be rocked by the Lord, to be held, to be stroked. And that can be a reality. The difficulty is when we won't go near because of maybe a complaint we have, or we've been... I once turned my back on the Lord for 9 years. And I said, he might love everybody else in the world, but he doesn't love me. And I held on to that for, well, I held on for 7 years. In the last 2 years, I started talking to him. But I couldn't, I was still cross. And that's the, one time I was asked, what is the worst sin you've ever done in your life? And this was in a pub. We were going round doing evangelism. And I was asked, what's the worst sin? And I think I turned as white as a sheet. And I said, I can't tell you that. But a couple of days later, I realized that wasn't my worst sin. My worst sin was thinking that God didn't love me. That was my very, very worst sin. And I wept and wept over that. Because he is the most loving, the most giving, the most caring. And for me to say that was awful. But anyway, he's blessed me. He's blessed me. And he forgave me. He didn't make a big deal of it, actually. He just gave me and filled me with his love. And he kept pouring love into me. All my complaints about not being loved, he just poured in love, 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 love. Martin, if when you want me to stop, just say. Yeah, I've only got 2 more sheets and they're quite small. God's character. Part of it, I think I've mentioned some of this already. God's willingness to answer our questions. He is so great, you could think. But he's so willing. He's so humble. What a humble God we serve. There's no pride in him. There's no self-seeking in him. He listens and he answers. I've already said this. We can talk to him. And he's a genuine father, mother. Total caring, supportive love. He will tell us when we're wrong. And not many people will. But he will. He will tell us when we're wrong and guide us. And he will guide us if we will listen. Next slide. He wants to use us to transform lives. And that will transform the world, actually. He wants to use us to transform lives and to bring his kingdom in, to bring in his kingdom. Next slide. God can give us detailed instructions if we will give him time to speak to us. And I want to recommend this strongly. And if the time you have at present is zero, raise it to 5 minutes. If it's bigger than that, think about it in terms of spending time. And I think of it as sitting down with God. If you've only got 2 minutes, you don't really sit down, do you? You stand up and you're ready to move if you've only got a short time. But even a minute, just acknowledging God, 60 seconds, acknowledging Him and asking Him to help you or whatever, expressing, just saying, I love you. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you that you love me. But sitting down with God and having a slow time with Him is so valuable. And I have the luxury of having probably more time than anyone in this room. So I have a lot of free time. I used to wake up at 3 or 4 or 5 in the morning. And I now don't do that. But so I could spend 3 hours sitting down with God. And so I'm in luxury and you aren't. But I want to recommend it nonetheless. Because actually, the other thing is sit in the same place, or kneel in the same place if you kneel to pray or to listen. But just choose the same place. Choose a spot that you like and keep that as your place to pray. And it's His presence is the best thing we can have. His presence. And that's what happens when we're sitting down and we get into a good habit of being with God. And Jesus often said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He often said that after he'd told a parable. And he's saying, if you've got ears to hear, his disciples couldn't understand his parables. And they had to go to him and say, please explain it to us. But Jesus wants us to have ears to hear. But also, he says in another place, why do you call me Lord if you won't do what I say? Why do you call me Lord if you won't do what I say? And actually, if we're listening and God tells us something to do, I mean, I've had amazing experiences in this realm of God directing me that something that didn't make sense, and then it was totally, totally the best. And you end up being in the right place at the right time. And that sort of coming together, that's what he does in this. In Revelation, in the letters to the churches, again at the end of each of the letters it says, he who has ears to hear. There's another place where it says, today if you will hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. That's interesting. I'm going to finish with a story. I was thinking I'd like a story to tell. It's about me, of course. But it's not a terribly good story about me. It turned out good in the end. Don't cry in the middle. I had been to Sweden doing some conferences there. And I had met with a lot of people, prayed a lot. I was doing it on my own. And somebody before I went to Sweden gave me some Swedish money. So when I travel, I don't take any money with me at all. It's ridiculous, but I don't. I expect that somehow. I obviously have my plane tickets. But anyway, I had this Swedish money and I was thinking, oh, good. I'll be able to buy a Swedish, not a Swedish newspaper, but at a Swedish newspaper stand, I'll be able to buy the Times and do the puzzles. So I had this Swedish money in my hand, or in my pocket. Anyway, I went to the airport and I got the newspaper. I went with the money and it was old money. It didn't work. And I was so cross. I was so very upset. I'd been looking forward to this time on the plane with my devotions. So I got on the plane. I really was cross. I was so upset. And there was a woman sitting on not the next seat to me, but the one along. And she saw I didn't have anything to read, and she offered me one of her magazines. I don't read magazines. And I was a little bit rude to her. I didn't say that, but I wasn't pleasant. It's a very, very bad example, this. Anyway, eventually I took one of the magazines because she kept pressing them on me. And then the Lord spoke to me and he said, get over it. And I did. I said sorry to the Lord. And then I decided to talk to this lady. And it turned out that she was ill. She had cancer. And she'd come to Sweden to visit a relative before going home and having some treatment. And I said to her, would you like me to pray for you? I could pray. And so she said yes, and I put her hand on her arm and I prayed. And she felt total heat running through her body. And she knew she was healed instantly. She knew she was healed. And then she said to me, of all the people I could have sat next to on this plane, and it was you. I was thinking of my bad behavior. And then I got in touch with her later, and she was healed. It was confirmed. How amazing. And so I was in the right place at the right time, in the wrong mood. If you ever want to pray for me, pray that I will stop being so obsessed with puzzles. Amen. Shall I pray?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you're so kind and you're so understanding. You know exactly where we are, how we are, who we are, what we need, and where we're heading. And Father, I pray that all of us will come to trust you more, love you more, follow you more, hear you more, obey you more. In Jesus' name, amen.